Do you feel like you work all the time and you might not be getting ahead? There's a reason for that. And our guest on today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires, Dr. Heidi Scherholz, is here to help us understand exactly why. She is the president of the Economic Policy Institute. Welcome back, Dr. Scherholz. We talked about why a bit in the first segment, and that is because while workers have contributed an explosion in productivity, which has helped grow the U.S. economy, much of the benefit of that increase in productivity has gone to the richest people and to corporate shareholders. The vast majority of us do not own significant quantities of corporations. So it's going to the richest folks in the nation, and it's leaving workers behind, that there's been this decoupling of increased production and wages. But we're also seeing, since the 80s, increasing political instability. And so before we went to the break, I said, is this a coincidence? Is this highest levels of income and wealth inequality that our country has seen in 100 years? Is the place that we are now in it with all of that inequality and this increase in political instability, is it a coincidence that these are happening at the same time?
I think it is not at all a coincidence. Surprise, surprise. The policy sort of, it's a policy choice that we have the kind of inequality that we have today. Policies like allowing a minimum wage to erode, the relentless attacks on unions that have led to declining unionization, the elevated unemployment for long periods. Not right now. We have low unemployment now. Our policymakers actually did a really good job responding to the COVID recession. But for the four decades prior to that, we tolerated excess unemployment for long periods. That's really bad for working people. An eroded safety net and kind of on and on and on. That's the set of things. That's a policy choice. Those are policies that have led to rising inequality, reduced worker power, and sort of big chunk of people being really left behind. And I think what that has meant is that people are rightly, in my mind, looking for answers. And that has created this kind of perfect storm where I think people are more likely to be willing to believe it when somebody then comes out of the blue and says, you know, these problems are all caused by immigrants or something like that. That's not true. It's caused by the list of things that I said. It creates this situation where people may be more willing to believe that instead of really thinking of the or knowing about the real villains in this story, which are the ultra wealthy and the policymakers who have supported the ultra wealthy by allowing minimum wage to erode, by allowing the attacks on unions to erode unionization, by allowing too high unemployment, by allowing the safety net to be eroded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a mismatch of who's at fault for the problems that real people truly are experiencing, I think.
And one of the ways that I like to talk about policy choices is it is a choice amongst our values. It is an expression of our values. And if we value working people in this country, then our policies should reflect that. Lip service can be given to bootstraps and hard work. But if our tax policy and our economic policy doesn't reflect a value on work, then that is bogus. And the feeling that people have, right, I think is very real. And it has made people vulnerable. And the rich people in this country and globally are willing to prey upon that vulnerability and lie to people about the causes of their vulnerability. That when you're economically vulnerable, you become vulnerable to all sorts of suggestions because we live in this state of heightened anxiety. I couldn't agree with you more, Dr. Scherholz. You mentioned worker power, and one of the things that I hope can fight anxiety is when people feel empowered to make changes. So I want to ask you a bit about what can people do to feel empowered and engaged and inform themselves? And what should we be looking for to empower us as middle-class workers and workers nationwide?
You know, there's a lot of ways to answer that question, but I'm just going to get to the thing that I think is the most empowering sort of institution in our country for working people, and that is unions. Like I think working people there is a resurgence of unions right now.
Yes.
Public support for unions is at near 50-year highs. We're seeing big high-profile union wins, high-profile successful strikes, et cetera, et cetera. But it also is something that people can do. Joining together with your colleagues can lead to higher wages, higher benefits, safer workplaces, saner schedules. Like, that is a really important way to just take control over your own economic life.
And sort of the democratic analogy to workers organizing together is voters turning out in great numbers to say, we want policies that reflect that we value hard work, that wealth needs to be taxed like work, that there shouldn't be a capital gains tax rate that is lower than what we pay in income tax. Folks, we're going to have to leave it there, but you can always come back every day in the 3 o'clock hour for more Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Dr. Shareholds, on a very personal level, as an economist, thank you for your service to working people in this country, and please continue to do that great work. We all appreciate it.
Will do, and right back at you. Thank you.
Thanks, folks. We're going to be back with former representative, now running for Congress, Peter Barca, former head of the Department of Revenue for the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to one of the most reasonable guys in politics who absolutely values unions and good hard work. When we come back, you're not going to want to miss our discussion with Peter about how to save Wisconsin and working families here, starting with this fall's election. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.